You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was a good day. Wednesday was a good day. We had a sporting event with roughly 20,000 people, and to hear them gave me chills. I've listened to it multiple times now, and I watched a good portion of the NASCAR All-Star race just to see the smiles on the faces of the fans and to hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought I would miss crowds. I'll just be the first person to say it. I'm allergic to crowds sometimes. Not claustrophobic allergic, but annoyed allergic. As in, they annoy me. It's about my worst nightmare to be stuck in Times Square in New York City on, say, a Friday afternoon or a Friday night or a Saturday during tourist season, which is pretty much all the time in New York. Oh, no, I avoid it like the plague. Except for when people come in from out of town and want to see the sights in the Big Apple. Then, okay, I suck it up. But that is my worst nightmare, those kind of crowds. And generally, people are going too slow for my taste. And I don't really enjoy hanging out with large groups of people much. But I miss them. I miss seeing them. I miss hearing them. And I never thought I would say that. So it was pretty cool to see and hear what could have been up to 30,000 fans, although they only ended up with 20,000 estimated in the seats at Bristol on Wednesday night for NASCAR's All-Star race. So we'll let you hear that coming up, what it sounded like. Maybe you'll get chills as well. Tiger Woods tees off this morning in the Memorial Tournament that he's won five times, but more important than that, more significant than that, is his reemergence on the PGA Tour. When last we saw him in a PGA event, it was bad. Much better in the Match 2, which of course is his home course with Phil and Peyton and Brady. And he had no pressure on him then. It's different now. So I'm anxious to see Tiger Woods in a group that it's about as high profile as it gets these days on the PGA Tour. Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, his playing partners for the first two rounds of the Memorial. So the reemergence of Tiger Woods, fans in the stands at Bristol. Will we have fans for any of the golf tournaments moving forward? The commissioner of the PGA answered that question, so we'll let you hear from him. It was a busy day for the NFL, and even though Derrick Henry and the Titans were not expected to come to an agreement before the franchise tag deadline passed, lo and behold, they got it done under the wire. And this is cool. This is cool for both sides. It's not a deal that breaks the bank. It's not a deal that makes Derrick Henry the highest paid running back in the NFL. Nah, it's a reasonable deal. How often do we say that about contracts for players as high profile as Derrick Henry? Not only is it reasonable for the Titans, it gives him $25.5 million in guaranteed money. Maybe he plays all 4 years under this deal. Maybe he doesn't. We know how running backs are. One day they're there. They're the future back. They're bulldozing their way 30 carries a game. And in Henry's case, 200 yards against the Patriots, the Ravens, more than 200 yards in the regular season finale. I mean, this guy is the definition of ground and pound, and he's exactly what the Titans want moving forward. But as is typically the case with running backs, there's a relatively limited shelf life. Henry's 26. He won't turn 27 until January. So this is his 26-year-old season. And while he's still in the prime of his career, it comes quickly for running backs. Most of them, not all of them, they're not all Frank Gore or Adrian Peterson, though those guys aren't feature backs anymore. And in both cases, they've had some time off, which kind of helps, not by choice, but with injuries. It comes quickly, though, where one day a guy's a feature back, and then all of a sudden, he can't handle that role anymore. Maybe mentally he would like to, but physically the body has just been through too much. Doesn't mean he can't be a serviceable back, but it does mean that you don't want to pay the guy a buttload of money, a boatload of money, either one, when that cliff and that precipitous drop off the cliff can happen at any time. It's just the plight of an NFL running back. And obviously right now for the Titans, Derrick Henry is the golden goose. And I think it's great because he gets paid. He's got some job security, some financial security. And the Titans want him to continue to be their number one guy. He fits perfectly with not just Ryan Tannehill, but the system they've got. And they're a team on the rise. I believe that. And so Henry reportedly gets 4 years, 50 mil, more than half of that guaranteed, and his average annual salary puts him fifth in the NFL. So we're not talking about Ezekiel Elliott money. We're not talking about even the money that Todd Gurley got. Remember the Gurley contract? And it turned into a lot of buyer's remorse. For the Rams, they ended up cutting him. Now he's hoping to find some new life with the Falcons, but they're not an offense that needs him to be a 1,000-yard rusher. Now, is that great? Sure. And is that well within what Gurley can do? I think so. But I don't even know if you'd call him the number one option. I don't think so. Not in my opinion. That's not the way the Falcons offense is built. So a different situation. We're not talking about Elliott. We're not talking about even Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that is in on pretty much everything that the Panthers do offensively and how much they're going to rely on him. So he's making $16 million per season. Zeke is $15 million. Le'Veon Bell wanted to be paid like a quarterback. What he's got is $13.1 million. And then David Johnson, which is also an odd one, at $13 million for the Texans. Still the bonehead move of the offseason. The Texans and not for the Cardinals. But Derrick Henry could have held out for more money. He could have said, I just won the NFL rushing title. I had 1,500 yards. Now this is back-to-back seasons of more than 1,000 yards. 5-plus yards per carry. This is a guy who you look at the track record from end of the regular season into the playoffs, and you can obviously point to him as the number one reason, the catalyst for their trip to the AFC Championship. It was amazing to watch him work. A lot of his teammates were standing around watching him work. And so, yeah, he could have used this opportunity to say, nah, this might be the best season I ever had. I'm going to wait. Issue, of course, with a running back is that if he does wait and plays another franchise tag and then doesn't have a season that's similar or gets hurt, then all of a sudden it changes. And so I like the strategy here with Henry and his camp. Capitalize. And it's good that they got it done. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Titans do this year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. $12.5 million per year seems reasonable for an NFL running back of his caliber. Brian McFadden on CBS Sports HQ.
He's getting, what, $25 million guaranteed? That's a pretty serviceable number based on what he's been able to do production-wise. And he's not, you know, per year salary. You got Christian McCaffrey, you got Ezekiel Elliott. So they were able to give him a good deal, but they didn't overpay. I don't think, for Derrick Henry's services. And I think both parties are happy with the deal. Clearly, Derrick Henry is because he signed it. We know the Tennessee Titans, they're happy because they were able to get this deal done before the deadline. And granted, if you're not able to get that outstanding Derrick Henry that we saw last year, maybe you can get the 2018 Derrick Henry, who put up some real nice numbers. I'm not expecting for Derrick Henry to give you 16 rushing touchdowns and lead the league in rushing like he did last year, but I think he's a capable guy that can do some damage to opposing defenses, because the thing that I love about Tennessee and finding a way to lock up their best player in Derrick Henry, the football DNA, the football personality of their offense is what? Ground and pound. They have that old-fashioned mentality with a big bruising running back in the backfield that likes to lean on defenders, ground and pound, play good football in the red zone, quarterback be smart with the football, and the defense will handle the rest. So that has been the football personality offensively for the Tennessee Titans for the last few years, and I think they will continue to get better at that personality, especially if they keep Derrick Henry, and clearly they're keeping him for the long haul.
Brian McFadden on CBS Sports HQ. Who knows if he plays all the way through this contract to be as productive and to still make this kind of money at 30 years old would be awesome for him. Really awesome for any running back. I think most of them would take it. But big picture, even more so, with the efficiency of a Ryan Tannehill who's finally found this perfect fit for him and has the confidence too to go along with it. So Mike Vrabel makes him the starter, and the Titans offense instantly settles in. Fewer mistakes. He's not going to wow you like an Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to thread the needle throws like a Drew Brees. That's not his game, but that's not what they need. So he and Derrick Henry, it's like the yin and yang in the backfield. And then the trenches and how they operate in the trenches, the toughness, the grit, the sheer will and force. I mean, this is a tough, physical, smash mouth team on both sides of the ball, and they've got a formula that works for them. May not work for everyone, but it works for them. And so this was, I think, the perfect way for their offseason to play out. Virus not included. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. A lot of you taking our baseball poll a week out. We are a week out of the scheduled opening night, 2 weeks away from the NBA resuming, and then 2 weeks and a couple of days from the NHL. But baseball is up next. So what is your level of excitement? You can take our poll right now. We got essentially a three-way tie. Can't wait. Cautiously optimistic. Mildly excited, which in my opinion translates to meh. Not at all. Get to 2021. So I'll let you go and check out the poll. That's on Twitter, our show Twitter as well. And then our Facebook page. And I'm getting a lot of different opinions, which is great. That's fairly typical. But I would say an underlying theme is that even if you are excited to see baseball back, you're also just not sure. Unsure, uncertain, unprecedented, unexpected, unpredictable. All of those definitely apply to pretty much any walk of life in 2020, and sports is no exception. Had a chance to talk with longtime NFL reporter Howard Bolzer, who joined us from St. Louis in our first hour. He's covering the Cardinals primarily now, but he's been part of the NFL community for so long that he's got such great insight. And I asked him, is it better for an athlete to sign a long-term deal or not? Right now, with everything so up in the air, we don't exactly know what the revenue stream is going to be like this year for the NFL, how that's going to affect TV contracts. Now, they did just sign the new CBA, which theoretically would mean that the TV contracts would swell and that they would be bringing in a lot more money, which would in turn boost the salary cap. But with so much up in the air, are you better served by getting a contract, a long-term deal, and the guaranteed money now, or waiting until teams feel like they've got more certainty. So it's fascinating, not only a fascinating concept, a fascinating thought, fascinating debate, but his answer was really interesting too, as he looked at both sides of it. So if you missed that conversation with Howard, it was great. Lots of stuff on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins, but also just greater NFL. Part of our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. We did talk about Dak Prescott. Howard says Dak bet on himself. But this could go the other way as well. So that's kind of where I fall. If there's a 16-game season and Dak kills it, the Cowboys kill it, Mike McCarthy's first year in the Big D is a success, great. Nothing should change. And in fact, he's likely to have a little more leverage when it comes to getting the length of a deal that he wants. That was the hangup. There was a late push. Jerry Jones went to Dak late before the franchise tag deadline. That was reported in a couple of different places, including our Patrick Walker on CBS Sports. But they couldn't get a deal done. And ultimately, the hangup is the same that it has been. 4 years versus 5 years. They couldn't decide. There were concessions and compromises in other areas, but they could not decide. They couldn't agree on either 4 years or 5 years. And so Howard says Dak Prescott bet on himself, believing that he'll have more leverage with a strong 2020 season. But just devil's advocate, what if it's a crappy season? And I feel like it's maybe not fair to evaluate teams and players in a year like this one, but they're all going to be on the same playing field. You have to use something to evaluate them. And it's, what have you done for me lately? It could go horribly wrong. But that's what Howard was saying. That's the point Howard was making, is players who choose to wait, they're betting on themselves and believing their case will be even stronger. In Dak's case, he believes 2020, playing under the franchise tag, will get him closer to what he wants in a deal. Jerry has said, that's Jerry Jones to you and me, Jerry has said, Dak's our quarterback for the now, for the future. But you know how quickly things change in the NFL, really in professional sports, but faux show in the NFL. What could possibly go wrong with an anonymous tip line, or as it's fondly being referred to these days, the snitch line? What could possibly go wrong? Oh, Doc Rivers is going to tell you. And if Doc has thought of it, well, how many other thousands of people do you think have come up with the same idea? Those people who have nothing better to do but come up with crazy ideas.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Doc Rivers comparing this to a very exclusive, extensive summer camp. The greatest summer camp in the history of basketball. Leave it to Doc. But he makes a good point, as he usually does. One of my favorite people in the NBA community. This is something that they're all entering blind, right? Like no one's ever done anything like this before, which means they're all on the same plane. It's a level playing field. And that part appeals to me. You certainly can't control the situation, but you want to make it as equitable as possible. Now, it's up to these athletes and their travel parties to stay virus free. It doesn't happen by accident. Not if you're in a bubble. You can't just somehow get the virus. No. Nobody's got it. And if nobody's got it in the bubble, that means someone has to bring it in to be able to pass it. And so we hear guys like Greg Popovich. We hear guys like Jamal Crawford say, I feel safer in the bubble than I do anywhere else. Oh gosh, especially thinking about what's happening in Texas right now. I think Greg Popovich mentioned that a couple of days ago. Now it becomes their personal responsibility. And so they've got to recognize it's not just about keeping themselves virus-free and available, but it's also about protecting their teammates, protecting their franchise, potentially protecting their jobs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, I know people joke about the food, although we did talk about that with Steve Kuyler on Basketball Insiders, that the food that everyone was joking and poking fun about, that was really just what they were getting in their rooms until they could pass the initial quarantine. Remember, they had to be in quarantine for 48 hours until they passed a couple of tests, and then they were good to go. There are restaurants, there's a buffet. Sweet. Already, though, you had a couple of guys looking for food deliveries, and can we call it accidentally crossing the bubble border? Oh, what a great hashtag, bubble border. So as much as we feel like, oh, poor guys, look what they're eating. Are you kidding me? The NBA is spending $150 million to make sure these guys have everything they could possibly need. And if you don't take my word for it, take Doc's word for it. It's not nearly as bad as you might be able to conjure up in your brain.
It's unique, for sure. You know, there is a lot on your plate for sure, but it's also an awesome responsibility. You know, it's I don't know. I think it's really cool. You have a chance to come out of this and play games, and then, you know, go to the playoffs. I think it's awesome.
Seriously, I love Doc Rivers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Find us on Facebook or on Twitter. Take our baseball poll because MLB is up next a week from today. What is your level of excitement? We've given you four options on Twitter, but of course on Facebook you can pontificate, and many of you do. Now, here's another reason I love Doc. He's funny. And I keep asking, it's a rhetorical question, because I already know the answer, and so should you. What could possibly go wrong with an anonymous tip line that's already affectionately being referred to as the snitch line? If I've thought of it, you've thought of it, Doc Rivers has thought of it, oh, then you can imagine there are a lot of people out there with less than altruistic motives who've also thought of it.
I turn in LeBron yesterday. I'm turning in, you know, Pop today. I'm trying to turn all these guys in. I think it's phenomenal. We're going to be the only team left when I'm done with this hotline thing. So, it's funny. I know about it, but I don't think it's a problem at all. I think it's good. Like, we do, you know, this is not some normal thing. COVID, obviously, it's not only that you can get sick, but you can get other people sick. And so this is very important for all of us. We want to do our jobs. And so I think having a hotline, I guess that's what they're calling it. I guess that's important.
Well, that's not the only thing they're calling it, but I love it. Doc says, I turned in LeBron yesterday. I'm going after Pop today. By the time I get done with this, I love how he avoids calling it the snitch line. By the time I get done with this tip line, we're going to be the only team still standing. Come on, don't tell me there aren't people who are calling the tip line and making stuff up. There's no way where everybody who uses this tip line is telling the truth. So it's really fascinating, and I don't know how they flesh through these things, but players are already getting warned as a result of tips that have come in. Come on, someone's going to take the chance. And no doubt someone's going to take the chance and use their own cell phone or use their room in their hotel or their hotel lobby. It's being called the snitch line. That in and of itself is fantastic. Shaquille O'Neal said on the NBA on TNT this week, I don't condone snitching. So I just need to know if the number is published somewhere. Is it a number that people can use who are not inside the bubble, or is it only available for peeps in the bubble? And what happens if there actually is someone who goes, let's just say there's a 20-something-year-old, single guy, desperate for some company, if you catch my drift. I'm sure most of you don't, and that's fine. he needs some companionship. And someone spots him. Leaving the bubble, maybe knows where he's going. Maybe word gets around. Would you call? I don't care whether or not you condone snitching. Especially since this is an anonymous tip line. I say absolutely. What? That guy doesn't get to leave? If I don't get to leave, that guy doesn't get to leave? This is why Rudy Gobert calls it petty. Because it is. Well, depending on your motives. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish joining us on this Thursday morning. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning, Amy.
I love that it already has a nickname, the snitch line. Would you call it? Would you do it?
I would do it for real reasons. Yeah, like if I saw a guy like taking himself outside the bubble and getting us all like in danger and I've spent a bunch of weeks trying to keep myself safe and healthy to get down there, maybe begrudgingly, and try and finish a season, and I'm locked in there for at least 50 plus days. If somebody was being a knucklehead and breaking, those kind of rules, I would absolutely tell somebody. Would I complain about Jimmy Butler's dribbling basketball?
Oh, well.
That's also on the table, too, because I want to go to sleep. But other things, I probably would leave alone.
But, okay, here's the deal, though. How does the NBA figure this stuff out? Like, not Jimmy Butler dribbling at all hours. But how does the NBA figure out if these are real or not when maybe there's a game in 2 hours? That's the part that I'm really interested in.
Well, I'm also confused, too, because they kind of proudly told us about 10 days ago how much money they were spending and how many, like, government, legal, law enforcement agencies were involved in, like, protecting this bubble and keeping it safe and keeping people who were supposed to be outside, outside, and keeping people who were supposed to be inside, inside. And yet we've had this, these handful of rule breakers already. And some of these things are going undetected, right? Going undetected by this elite task force of people keeping an eye on things. So I'm just confused by the whole thing having some cracks right out of the gate.
I wonder if those bracelets they're wearing, bracelets or watches, whatever they are that they're wearing, the ones that beep when you go within 6 feet of another human being, I wonder if those could also be equipped with, say, like an electric shock, where if you cross the line, you get zapped.
I'm not for necessarily that kind of punishment, but if these guys had to wear something that was like basically a GPS
it
tracker.
It is, yeah.
Right, so like I have no problem with that. Like if you're taking this seriously, like how delicate the bubble is and how real, like you could get infected by this and spread it all around, like, and we want to finish this and have games and get to a champion, like I would be okay if they were being tracked every single moment. And the second they went somewhere that they weren't supposed to, ninjas were dropping from the sky. You could throw a net on them, lasso them, drag them back inside. Like, if we're going to keep it safe, we should go to the extreme to keep it safe.
Oh, yeah. Instead of snitches get stitches, snitches get trophies, actually.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The voice of Mike Keith on the Titans Radio Network against the Baltimore Ravens. What a game. What a performance that was. It was a stunner. Remember the number one seed Baltimore hosting Tennessee, who just come off the upset of the New England Patriots as the sixth seed on wild card weekend and then marching through Baltimore and essentially beating the Ravens at their own game. The ball control, the ground production, the ground and pound for sure. And to have that lead at Arrowhead Stadium, though it wasn't quite the banner game for the ground patrol of Derrick Henry in that AFC Championship. But they had it. They had the lead like every other team did in the playoffs against the Chiefs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Why am I yelling? Visit geico.com to learn more. So we're hoping that Andrew Bogish hasn't died because that would be bad. Maybe, though, someone snitched on him and he got yanked right off the air. That's it. Here we were talking about tattling and someone tattled on him for breaking his quarantine or something like that. We're asking you on both Twitter and Facebook, with baseball a week away, what is your level of excitement? So we've got a poll. I just retweeted A-Law Radio, so it's on your news feed or top of mind. And then also on our Facebook page, a lot of you are weighing in. And I can understand cautious optimism. I can't understand doom and gloom, peeps. I can't do it. But that's fine if that's how you feel. I'm more cautiously optimistic. I wasn't thrilled, obviously, with the way that baseball navigated their negotiations, how publicly tone deaf and, I mean, there's so many different adjectives I could use to describe them, but really tone deaf is the one I keep coming back to. How it felt like in the midst of everything the United States of America was going through, and especially the average worker losing a job, being put on furlough, getting a pay cut, losing a source of income altogether. The way that baseball went back and forth, the amount of time that was wasted, I mean, it was like their guts were completely spilled out. And for a while there, I thought that I could never unsee that. And I don't know that all is forgiven, but I am willing to take baseball for what it is. I mean, the shine has been tarnished, and it's not going to be that same level of excitement anyway. With a 60-game season, that's their fault. They could have had longer, though sounds like the owners didn't want it anyway. And yeah, ultimately it came down to money, which sucks. But when these guys get on the field, if they get on the field in a week, I will still take it. I guess you can call me a sellout. I'm willing to forgive. I've got a week left to work on it. I won't forget. But I'm willing to forgive enough that I can at least enjoy Yankees at the World Series champion Nationals. I can enjoy the next chapter of the rivalry between the Giants and the Dodgers. That I can do. So take our poll on Twitter or Facebook. What level of excitement are you at? Now, you don't have to go scale of 1 to 10. We've given you some options. Many of you are kind of writing in with your own comments, and that's cool. We don't know whether or not there will be fans. At least initially, there won't be. Who knows if that's a possibility for the postseason? And some of you are saying that is actually the reason why you're not excited, because you can't fathom sporting events without fans. Well, we've already seen a good sample size of it, and these events haven't been terrible. Okay, so I get it. They're different. In some cases, eerily quiet. Even golf, which is supposed to be quiet. Tiger Woods and his caddy, they used to get mad all the time when people weren't quiet, especially in his backswing. So it's different, but it's not awful. If you've watched any of the MLS games, I actually find it fascinating to hear everything the coach is saying. And then to hear the goalie stand behind his defense on a corner kick and tell everyone where to go and who their marks are. So I find it just an interesting wrinkle. Once you get used to the quiet, Or relatively used to the quiet. But I will admit, it was sweet to hear the fans at Bristol Motor Speedway on Wednesday night. NASCAR All-Star Race. They actually were going to sell 30,000 tickets. They only ended up with roughly 20,000, which is fine. Some people still want to stay away, and I get it. But the smiling faces, and then not only when the race is going on, but post-race, when Chase Elliott is getting interviewed after he's won, you know, the whole thing, and he's getting his check. I mean, it was enough to give me chills. Just hearing the fans behind Chase.
1,111,000 for Chase Elliott.
You can hear the cheers from the fans, and it's in the family DNA. $1 million. What's it mean to win this event, this night at this track?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. What a better night to have fans back than tonight. I mean, y'all are awesome. There's nothing like Bristol. There's nothing like the lights here. There's nothing like racing here. Never won here. What a race to do it. Just really proud of our team tonight and rebounding. We've had a really tough couple weeks, and just felt like we had kind of gotten off base and felt like I was struggling, and just trying to try to hit the reset button this week, and came out and put on a great performance, great car. Just can't thank all our partners, everybody that makes this happen enough, and all those number nine hats and t-shirts up in the stands. Love to see it.
What's it mean to you, though, to hear those fans and see them here tonight?
I couldn't hear you, but what was that again?
I said, what's it mean to you to hear and see those fans here tonight?
There's no feeling like it, and nothing like it. This speaks for itself, and like I said, Bristol is an electric atmosphere that is unlike any other that we go to, so couldn't be more excited. We're going to celebrate this one for sure, and we'll take that $1 million back to Georgia, why don't we?
Wait, what? I can't hear you. How great was that? I miss fans in the stands, and I know it's going to be the aberration, not the rule, but I turned my headphones way up just so it was piercing. Exactly. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, we go from NASCAR All-Star Race, 20,000 fans. Not the only race, by the way, that's had fans. They had them at Talladega, 5,000. They also had them at the Indy Road Race a week ago, about 10,000 fans. Now, they were willing to sell unlimited tickets, but only 10,000 people showed up around the four-mile road course. So, obviously, there are people that are not comfortable going, and that's fine. That's the great thing about having the choice. And so I appreciate that these fans who wanted to go had the choice. But anyway, you go from that and that raucous atmosphere now to golf and to a sport that is supposed to be quiet. But if this was not 2020, if this was 19 or maybe 22, We're going to end up having a different atmosphere in 20 at the Memorial than we would at any other point for this particular tournament because of Tiger.
This is the 45th play-in of the Memorial Tournament, a tournament with a great history, a great tradition that's hosted by a great family, the Nicklaus family, and obviously to be back here with Jack and Barbara. To do so 2 weeks in a row is very special for the PGA Tour and for all of our players. And I think you just have to look no further than the quality of this field.
Jay Monahan is the PGA Tour commissioner. He's been very present as the tour has advanced forward now a month and a half into its emergence, its reemergence, and that's on the PGA Tour Twitter. And then he was also asked about when he expects fans on the tour.
We're not going to have spectators, and we're not going to have pro-ams through the Tour Championship in Atlanta. Right now, you look at the PGA Tour schedule, the next event up is the U.S. Open. And I know that the USGA continues to work with the state of New York and is making plans to return fans. So if I had to guess, that would be the first week that we would do so. You know, we're spending a lot of time in each of the subsequent tournaments, or each of the tournaments in the fall, working on a number of different ways to stage the event, which includes full capacity, partial capacity, and obviously the way that we're operating now, which is no spectators, and that will be largely dependent on what we hear from the communities where we play.
Jay Monahan, PGA Tour Commissioner, he's done a great job. They've done a great job, even with having to adjust on the fly and change some of their health and safety protocols when they did have a handful of guys who had to withdraw because of COVID-related situations. They weren't all positive, but one guy with his caddy, another guy who might have been exposed, he references the U.S. Open. That's scheduled for Wingfoot mid-September, and it's up on 95 north out of New York City toward the Connecticut border. So it's along the coast, and right now they're looking at all possible contingencies. Even farther down the road than that, the Masters in November, could they possibly have some fans at Augusta National? Now, you know, they generally limit the fans there anyway. The club does. But could they, in the state of Georgia, end up having some fans in attendance? So it's kind of a month at a time for a lot of these sports and an event at a time, and they move around, especially when they do move around. A lot of it has to do with the state and local mandates as well. Baseball, at least for now, will be played without any spectators, but we are a week out. You got to check out the poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Right now, it's a battle between can't wait and let's just get to 2021. I mean, literally, we've got almost a dead heat between those two options, but it's coming. It's coming. I'm cautiously optimistic. We'll be back tonight. Enjoy your Thursday After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.